Hey mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well Nourished Mama podcast. My name is Brooke, I'm your host, and I am so excited for you to listen to today's interview. I have been dying to have this guest on the podcast for such a long time. We finally made it happen, and she happens to be the most highly requested guest out of all of the suggestions that you guys have put in since the podcast started. So I know you're going to love today's interview. I had the pleasure of sitting down and talking with Meg Miles. She is the owner of Wilma, the health and fitness community and app. And she is just a light and a joy. If you know her, you love her. If you follow her, you love her. She is just absolutely amazing. And not only is she a pre and postnatal fitness coach, but she also shares her experiences with motherhood and all of her fashion finds. And she's just absolutely incredible. And when you get to sit down and listen to her story is incredible from like an entrepreneurial perspective and all of the things that she has been through to get to where she's at in her life. And so today's conversation is going to be more about her personal experience and some of the things that she's gone through rather than necessarily something educational like this is what your pelvic floor is or these are the exercises that you should be doing for pregnancy and postpartum. So it's a little bit different than what we've done so far, but I'm hoping to kind of kick off a new branch of guests on the podcast where we just get to talk to other moms and get to hear about what makes them so unique and their journeys and their life experiences, so that we can grow this community and really feel this relationship with the members of the Well Nourished Mama community. And I cannot think of somebody better to participate in this than Meg Miles. So we're going to be talking about all things entrepreneurship, being a working stay-at-home mom, tips for communicating with your partner and balancing your work life and your home life, having the courage to chase your dreams, how to put yourself first, all these other things. And you actually get to hear a really special story at the very, very end. So make sure to listen all the way to the end. So with that being said, let's jump into today's interview with Meg Miles, all about chasing your dreams and being a working mom. Hey mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of two and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this, you're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. You're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life. Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? How I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum.
If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6-week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list.
Meg Miles is a wife and mother to 4 kids ages 8, 6, 3, and 1. She's a registered nurse, certified personal trainer, pre- and postnatal fitness specialist, and owner of Wilma Fit. Her work at Wilma is focused on unifying women in the pursuit of strength and love from the inside out. With new workouts uploaded weekly to the app, she strongly believes our bodies should be celebrated each day through movement, whatever stage of life we're in, and that when we pursue our best, it allows others the courage and motivation to do the same. Meg, this has been a long time coming. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Brooke, for having me. I am so excited to talk with you. And just like you say, you've done some work for me with the app and given me such a gift for the Wilma app. So I'm excited to talk.
I know a lot of our listeners are really excited for this conversation too. And I just want to jump right in. But before we do that, can you just, for anybody who's not familiar with who you are, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, your family, just like what you provide?
I would love to. So my name is Meg Miles. We live in Salt Lake City. We love it here in Utah. I met my husband here. We both went to the University of Utah and met up there. We have 4 kids. Their ages range from 8 years old down to my little Gwyneth turns 1 next week. I cannot believe it. So I have 3 girls and a boy. And I own a company called Wilma. So it is a fitness and wellness company, an app that I offer primarily to women. I have men on there as well, but my main passion and love is just empowering women with the tools that they need to feel their strongest from the inside out and truly just to feel confident in their own skin as they are. So that is what I spend most of my time doing, and I love it. So that's a little gist about me. I'm a nurse, personal trainer, pre and postnatal. I'm certified pre and postnatal, so I love talking about pregnancy and that postpartum period, and really just find myself in lots of different hobbies and loves surrounding that.
That's amazing. I love seeing just like everything about your life on social media. Just you do such a good job of highlighting all of the different parts of your life without making it seem like you are just an entrepreneur or, you do such a good job of like showing all different aspects. And I'm just curious, the life you're living now, raising a family, owning your own business, is this what you imagined when you were little? Is this kind of like what you have always wanted, or is this something that just kind of came to be?
Yeah. As a kid, I don't think I envisioned what I'm doing now and growing up even. I was heavily involved in athletics. I loved that arena. I have always had a very positive body image surrounding food and surrounding movement. That was a big part of my life. But I think really things started to change in college. I really explored a lot. I changed my major about 4 times. I landed on nursing school up at the University of Utah. And during that time, I truly discovered, like, I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. And it's weird because I would tell my husband that in nursing school, but we would have presenters in nursing school. And I, every time we'd have a presenter that was more administrative, different than bedside nurse, business kind of minded, I was the only one after class up there talking to them. Like, I was so interested in the different opportunities that led out of nursing school that was different than bedside nursing. And although I did find a lot of fulfillment in that, of learning more holistic health and learning about the body and the way it works, I knew I had different things to offer, and I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So making that jump a few years into nursing school was really scary for me, but also felt so right. Like I kind of always have known I wanted to do my own thing. So it became later, but I don't think I grew up imagining what my life is now.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. And I think that's something that a lot of women need to hear, because oftentimes
we're told this is the path you choose, right? You graduate from college and you work your job, and then maybe you quit your career to be a mom. And it seems like everyone else is kind of deciding what our path is supposed to be like. And I love that you were just so in tune with yourself and what was important to you, and said, you know what, my heart is actually over here, and I'm going to find the courage to go that direction, and I'm just going to figure out how to make it work. And I feel like that's just been the story of your life, and especially Wilma, ever since it was created. So can you just tell us about how Wilma came to be and kind of your journey of building this business alongside everything else that you're doing in life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always so excited to talk about this, because to anybody listening, whether you hope to be an entrepreneur or not, it's so important to realize that you have the ability to change your situation whenever you don't feel right about it. And you have the ability to create something and a life that you love and that you're proud of, even if currently you feel stuck somewhere. And for me, I had my first baby, and I remember I was still working full-time as a nurse. I kind of got my hours down, so I was part-time, but the schedule was killing me. I hated being gone for 12-hour shifts, and I really was starting to not feel as fulfilled. And my heart was kind of pulling me a different direction. So I remember thinking, okay, like calculating out, if I have my personal training license, I love to teach. Like if I can just have, 4 to 6 clients, bring in some extra money each month, I can help support my family right now and just have something that I love doing on the side. So I took that leap. I quit nursing. It was a big, scary thing for me because I'd worked so hard for that certification and that, profession. And but I quit my job and I started just taking on a few clients. We had a 1-car garage. It was two cars deep, but just really small. It was like 15 by 20 feet or something like that, 13 by 20. And I created this little gym in the back. So I just was like, okay, I've invested some money here. Let's just get some clients. I, word of mouth started spreading, and I had 4 to 6 clients, and I loved it. It was the highlight of my day. I would wake up, super early. I'd have these clients before my kids were even up, and I would come in just filled with like this joy that I would just tell Brian, like, that is the best start to my day. I love it so much. And I just loved it. We did that for a while. And my clients started asking me like, okay, on the days that we're not training with you, what do you want us to do? So I kind of started outlining a plan for them. And one of them had said, I truly wish you could just set up your camera and film a workout, because that'd be so easy for me to follow in my living room. And I was like, oh, I couldn't do that. Like, I'd be so embarrassed. But I had a couple other friends at the time who kind of put that bug in my ear of, I would love to just follow along from home. So I thought, what the heck? This is going to be so embarrassing. I'm just going to set my camera up and I'm just going to film myself. We'll just do a full workout and then I'll just give it to them by email or whatever. So I started doing this and my clients started loving it. And I was like, this is such a fun thing for me. I'm getting in a workout. I'm sharing what I love. I get to kind of like give a little pep talk throughout because that's what I love to do. And yet here's this woman in her living room getting it done at home with all of her kids around. It was just such an idea that kind of sparked this excitement for me that it was like, I was like, why couldn't I share this with more people? So at the time it was Mom Strong Move. That was my brand. And we would send out PDFs. So I would like send out files to these people, and my Instagram had started building. So I think I had, my clientele was 100 people. And it was so exciting for me, like to have 100 people that believed in this little idea. It was like just a little spark that just lit this fire in me. And I thought, okay, this is incredible. Not only am I helping contribute financially to my family, but I'm helping other people and I'm also doing what I love. So anyways, sorry, this is getting long drawn out, but my husband, I didn't know how to really grow this. I really was like, I don't know, besides, emailing this thing out. And my husband at the time, he was like thinking, okay, she needs an app. Like, this would be amazing. But nobody had apps back then. Truly, it was very unusual to have an app. And it was kind of a new ground, I think, people were exploring. So one day, my husband, Bry, said, I have a meeting, a lunch meeting for us. And I was like, oh, really? Like, you never planned? Like, he's just like, I want to take you to lunch during the middle of the day. And I was like, okay, that's awesome. Like, that's the cutest thing ever. So we got a babysitter And I met him downtown Salt Lake. And as soon as I got out of my car, I was like, where are we going? It was this weird place downtown. And he said, so actually, I've arranged a meeting with some app developers today for you to meet about an app. And I was just like, so excited to talk. He had done the research in the background and had done this all for me. Had like found a group and lined it all up. And I went and met with this school. It was at the time a developer school. And these students had a capstone project where basically they worked with their instructor and they created my first app. And it was for all the money that we had saved up, which was so cheap at the time. I mean, we put everything that we had into this little app and it would basically just pull in some new workouts each week. I would film them, upload them to Vimeo, and then pull them from Vimeo. It was very simple, but it just gave me the structure I needed to get it out and to be a little bit more streamlined process. So I put this app out. It wasn't native to the app stores yet. It was just a web-based app. And anyways, I started getting more clients and more clients to the point where I was like, this is growing. This is actually something that is incredible. And this is a product that is viable, right? It's working. People are believing in this product. And so we eventually, it just grew from there. We wanted to trademark our brand, and Momstrong Move was not original enough to be trademarked. I wanted something really unique, something that meant a lot to me. So that's how Wilma comes about. It's this, you know, the story of Wilma Rudolph. She was my childhood hero and kind of my two affirmations in one of I will and I am. They form that word Wilma. And to me, it just means so much. So we trademarked Wilma to own it 100%. And we just went all in. And so far, you know, I mean, it's just grown organically. It hasn't been anything crazy, any crazy growth. I haven't had any like lucky breaks like a lot of entrepreneurs have, but it's just been very steady growth. And I've learned a lot in that sometimes that steady organic growth is truly where you get to, you know, connect with a community that becomes really valuable because you believe in each other, you work together. So Wilma is now a community of just, you know, thousands of women who are working to strengthen themselves. And I'm so grateful every day for it. It's such a dream come true for me and such a passion. And we have a lot of big, big plans for Wilma. So hopefully it continues to grow. We'll see.
It is the coolest story. I seriously, I get chills every time I hear your story, because to me, it's just so inspiring to see a woman who just like had the faith and confidence and belief in herself to begin with, to just be like, I can do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I want to do it. And I'm just going to figure out how to make it work. And like you said, you haven't necessarily had like any big breaks that people might perceive, but it still just has worked. And it's amazing to see what you've created. And selfishly, it's amazing to be like a tiny, tiny little part of that.
Yes.
And something that you said at the beginning that I wanted to point out is that you're like, well, am I just throwing it all away? Cause I like went through all this effort to, you know, get my bachelor's in nursing and like, what am I doing? And something that I've learned is that, you know, if we are going to be working for, I don't know, 40 or 50 years of our life, who says that we have to do the same thing for all 50 of those years? The point is just that we're working and that we're doing what needs to be done to sustain life. And you have the full right to just do whatever you want to make sure that you're happy while you're working. And I love that you exemplify that in your story.
Well, and it's important for listeners to understand too, that my business, it has been 5 plus years of so much work and so much error. Like it has not been this smooth sailing, straight line growth chart. It has been so up and down. And it has been, like you say, I knew nothing about business really before I went into this. So, and I've learned so much. So, I mean, it's like completely, it's, you really just have to start with where you're at. And for me, my perspective was always like, even if I'm not seeing growth, or even if I don't get all the clients that I want, like if I'm doing something that I love, that is helping my life and is like, if I can help those, whoever it touches, like if I can just, you know, make their life a little bit better, then it's so worth it to me. Like something that you don't have to be, I don't have to be the sweat app. I don't have to be Kayla It Signs to be successful. And I think sometimes we compare and we don't start because we think, well, there's too much competition out there. or I'm going to have to compare myself against all these big companies. But the truth is, you don't have to be a humongous company to be successful. Like, you can find success with the people that you can touch, and your voice is different and it matters, and it's going to touch the people it needs to. So I think that's also important to know, that you don't have to be the biggest or even the best to make an impact. Like, you just do what you love, and it's going to have a ripple effect, you know?
I absolutely agree. And, you know, you've had to do all of this while being a mom, while being a wife, and Bryce still works, right? Doesn't he?
Yes. He's also owns his own company. We're both entrepreneurs, so it's crazy around here.
Yeah. So you guys are super busy. And I guess my question to you is, how do you, I don't like the word balance because I think it's such a misleading word, but like, how do you manage running your own business, supporting your husband in his own business, and being a stay-at-home mom to 4 kids, and being Meg, your own individual person that has hobbies and passions and whatever? How do you manage all of that and still feel like you're, I guess, not failing in one or more categories?
Yes. Oh, I feel like I'm failing all the time in different categories. I mean, you can't succeed in every category. That's just what you have to realize. Like, I think, I mean, if you were to take a step into my house right this moment, you would find it looks like a bomb. I mean, you can't keep up with every little thing. And I think the earlier I learned that, just the less pressure I put on myself, because I'm like, okay, I have certain things I need to get done today and prioritize, and other things are going to slip. And that's just going to be how it goes, especially with 4 kids. I mean, you're navigating, juggling so many balls. I'm dropping balls all the time. And I think where sometimes on social media, we see the highlights and we see the balls that aren't dropped. But man, I mean, every mom's dropping balls every day for different things. And I think we can be so hard on ourselves when really, if we're just doing the best we can, like, that's all we can give, and it's going to be enough. We're just doing little things each day. So how I've navigated that has truly been chapter by chapter, season by season. If you would have asked me a year and a half ago, when I was deep diving into my pregnancy guide, you know, some of those weeks were 60 to 80 hour work weeks. And sometimes it was crazy. I had a nanny that came for me 4 times a week that would help. I mean, I truly could not have done that project without my nanny and her help at that time. Right now, I don't have help with childcare. So we're in a totally different season of my work right now, where I'm actually working less than I've ever worked before in the last 5 years. And I've hired out more help now. And, you know, again, we can talk more about my mental health has become a huge priority for me. So slowing down and taking a step back has been extremely important for this chapter of my life right now. But my business has grown very much like I've raised any of my children. Like, it required more hands-on work in the beginning, for sure. It was a lot more time intensive. And I had more energy then too. Like, I'm getting older, you know? So, I mean, I would crank work hours then. I really would. And I love to work, but I can't do that now. You know, I prioritize different things. And so with each chapter, it comes, you know, I think one of the biggest characteristics that you can have when starting something is just being flexible and having, setting boundaries around the things that are non-negotiables, that are super important for you, and really sticking to those boundaries, which has been a huge thing for me. Because what I have found is that if I just work, which I know I can do, then what is life? Like, my life doesn't feel fulfilled. And you have to get to a point where you are, you know, creating boundaries around time that is set aside just for you to do things that you love that have nothing to do with money, that are things that you truly just love to do because they make you happy. That's super important as well. You know, so it's, for me, it has been a lot of rearranging along the whole way, being flexible, learning how to work within little sliding moments of my kids, whether they're napping, whether they're at school, just figuring that out. Like, it's been, you know, figuring out my time management. That's been what it has been over the past 5 years. And at times it's been crazy, and other times it hasn't been as crazy. And it's just, you know, like I say, hiring out help, doing the things that you need to do to feel whole and to feel like you're not just grinding all day or getting a to-do list done all day, but truly like enjoying life the whole way through, even if that means you don't get as much done. you know? And I'm sorry, that's kind of all over the place, but truly I think hiring out help when you can is important. And I think I wish I would have done that earlier. And I do think that also being protective over your time, like taking an inventory of your time each day and realizing how much time really am I scrolling in social media, or how much time am I spending doing certain things, and how can I be a little bit more intentional about those boundaries and about figuring out what is going to feel best to me to, you know, to get my tasks done that I need to do.
Oh my goodness. So many golden nuggets that I agree with. You're just a wealth of knowledge and experience. Something I want to comment on is what you said about, you know, you've got all these different hats you have to wear. And when you realize that you can't be perfect in every category every single day, it takes a lot of pressure off. And that's something I've had to learn as well, where I sit there, I'm like, okay, if I am like full mom mode all day long, my house might be like cleanish because, you know, I've been around the house, but I probably didn't get a lot of work done in my business.
Yes.
And that's okay because I was, you know, I was where I needed to be. I was with my kids. I was doing things, running errands, whatever. And then the days where I am crushing it with work, I am, you know, cranking up my to-do list and getting a ton of stuff done, somebody else is watching my kids and my house is a disaster. And it doesn't mean that I failed in being a mom or that I am just a trashy person and can't keep a clean house. It's just understanding that my priorities for that day were different and I have to be okay with those other areas of my life not getting as much attention. And it really is an act of, okay, well, what's the most important thing today? Do I have important deadlines for work? Okay, well, that means that, you know, my kids are probably going to be in front of the TV a little bit more, or I'm going to send them to a friend's house and I just have to be okay with that. And learning that lesson is really hard, but it's a valuable one that helps you manage all of those different categories in your life.
Yeah. And you know what, to kind of step in on this, I want to give kind of some tips of what I do for my to-do list of like how I set that up each day, some things I've learned with that. But I will say too, that like, your kids, when I think back on my childhood, do I ever really remember how clean my house was at any certain moment? I don't think I do. Like, I'm sure my mom had five kids and I'm sure our house was always messy. Like, I'm sure of it, but do I remember that at all? No, like I truly don't. I just remember all the good memories. Like, that's kind of what our brains savor, is like, we pick up on these little memories where we're together, and I don't remember if my house was clean. It probably wasn't, you know? And so I think sometimes we just got to take off that pressure of like, our kids truly, what they need is connection. And, you know, if we're giving them enough of that each day, like they're going to be able to go and spread their little wings and, you know, learn the independence that they have. And I will say that my kids watching me as an entrepreneur, I think has benefited them so much. I've tried to involve them as much as I can. I want them to see the work. I want them to see the hours that I put in. And I want them to be aware of that so that they know mom also has to have her time. Like, she's not just my servant all day.
Yeah.
But like, I also have my own things that I love and that I'm doing and that I'm helping and outdoing. And they are going to pick up on that and hopefully learn that they have things that they want to share too, and that it's going to take work to get there. So I think there's so many valuable lessons. We feel guilty sometimes for working as moms. I used to, and I don't anymore. But really, I think what a gift when you can do it in a way that feels whole to you and balanced, in a way that they actually are kind of receiving a gift, I think, of seeing their mom who's chasing a dream that, you know, of something she loves and continuing her skills. It's such a cool thing. So, my to-do list. That's what I was going to jump into. So yes. Some things that I've learned. Okay. So to-do list, I'm all about lists because I just have to, my brain is full of ideas and things all the time. I have to write things down and just brain dump. So a lot of times this happens at night. It's actually a really great way of winding down, is if you can't sleep or you feel a little more anxious at night, just get out a pad of paper and write down everything you're thinking about. So a lot of the times that's when that happens. I'll just write out, okay, tomorrow, here's my list. And like, I'll be honest, today my list was like 20 things long. Do I ever get it done? No, I don't ever complete my to-do list. Really, I don't ever anymore. But what I do is once I have that list down, I look at my day and I prioritize like three things, like three of my, and I star them. So I put a little star next to like, these are the non-negotiables I have to get done today. And the rest, if I can get any of those done, it's a bonus. Like, that's great. If I have more than 3 to 5 of those non-negotiable items, those big items, I kind of say, okay, could I spread these out between a couple of days? If not, you know, how can I reprioritize? But I really try to have just a few of those non-negotiable items, because I know that I have 4 kids that are going to need me everywhere. It's just not realistic for me to complete a to-do list each day. So, and then I would suggest that something that's helped me is sometimes if I can start my day with one or two of those items that are easily checked off, then it gives me momentum. So something small. So like the first item, it could be like unload your dishwasher. If that's like on your list, or something that just takes like 5 minutes that you know you can get done, start with that first. And it just gives you this boost of like momentum of like, okay, that feels good. I crossed something off. It's not this huge task that you start with first. Start with a little tiny task and get a couple of those done, and then, you know, go into your others. So those are some things that have helped me. Also with kids, for other working moms listening, I think something that has helped me so much is realizing what are tasks I can do while my kids are, what is like appropriate for me to do while they're awake and around me? What can I get done off that list versus what do I need to be focused in and like one on my own time with to get these done? So like customer service emails, helping with those, I really don't want to do while my kids are around. Like, I just want to have full focus on those. And so those are like my time when I set aside work time. That's what I'm working on, is those tasks that I know I need privacy for and one-on-one, where like, you know, cleaning my room or, you know, putting laundry away, I'm like, okay, I can do this while my kids are. I don't need all the focus in the world. So let's change those tasks and reorganize so that I'm doing those while they're awake and around, you know? So it's just kind of like prioritizing in your head of what do you have to get done and when is the most appropriate time that you're going to be able to get that done. So.
Absolutely. I have definitely done that too, where I'll sit there and be like, why would I spend precious nap time folding laundry?
Totally.
When I could be like recording a podcast episode and then fold laundry while the kids are awake. Like, sure, I might not be able to do it all in one go, but like, why would I waste nap time folding laundry? And I know sometimes you need like a cleaning blitz, right? Sometimes every once in a while I'll do a cleaning blitz and that's fine. But I've also found those things like unloading the dishwasher, doing the laundry, vacuuming, you know, running errands, whatever. If I can do those while my kids are awake, they're seeing the work that goes into just maintaining a family, and it gives them an opportunity to participate. So my 2-year-old, he loves vacuuming. If I pick up the vacuum, he's like, Mommy, can I help? And I'm like, yes, I would love for you to help me.
Yes, I love it.
So it's like a double win, right? Where you're not using your precious one-on-one time to do, you know, the less important things, or I guess, you know, the more household chores, but you're also giving your kids an opportunity to participate and learn the value of work and learn these valuable skills. And then you can do it as a family. And so I think that's a really, really great tip. And something else that I've done is time blocking, where I'll be like, okay, what are things that I can get done in the morning? And then I have a time block from like noon to six. What are things that I'm going to do between noon and six? I'll factor in nap time and when my husband comes home from work and all those things. And then I'll be like, okay, what is going on after dinner? What's going to be on my to-do list after dinner? And I find that if I can segment tasks into these different time blocks, then not only does it help me organize my family life, but it helps me organize my work stuff, where I'm like, okay, well, I can try and get that done while they're awake. And so I can do that in the morning. And then during nap time, this is going to be my afternoon block. And this is when I have my really intense, heavy stuff. And so, yeah, I love how you organize and segment and try and just be like, okay, what's most important? How am I going to organize it today?
Yep. And also realizing, when are you most productive? For everyone, it's different. So for me, I am way more productive in the morning. Afternoon is my least productive time. I get so tired. I take a nap every day. That's my little secret sauce. I literally take a nap every single day. And, but morning, I'm like, if I can get a nanny, a babysitter for that little morning time, I will be so effective. So it's learning that. And also I will have to say that communicating to your partner, what your needs are, and really having them understand that so specifically for you. I think a lot of couples struggle with that work-life balance just simply because they don't communicate it. I think, Brian, a strength that we have within our marriage is with both of us being entrepreneurs, we have to be so direct with and communication with what's going on, what we need, and prioritizing that for each other, like really helping out. Like tonight, Brian knows he's on, you know, dinner duty. He's got the kids to put to bed. And that's just something he is respectful about. And I think that's a big thing, to just communicate with your partner. This is what I need. Like, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling here. What can we do together to be a team to work this out? You know?
Absolutely. It's been something that Tyler and I have worked on, and we've always been really good at communicating. But I think something like, as the entrepreneur, it's kind of scary to be like, hey, this is important and I need to do this. And I recognize that this is going to, you know, put some more responsibility on you in other places. Or yeah. Sometimes, at least for me, it feels kind of selfish to be like, I actually have to work.
Right.
And in theory, I'm choosing to work, right? Like, I'm not the main breadwinner. So if for you sure. really want to get nitpicky, I don't have to work. So I've had to get over the thing of feeling guilty, like asking for help right. and treating it like an important thing, because it is.
For sure.
And just being willing to be the person that's like, hey, it's not going to happen if I don't communicate. And so as the entrepreneur, you have to sit there and put your big girl pants on and be like, okay, I have to communicate and I have to be honest and I have to be upfront and I can't beat around the bush, because sure. that's how problems come.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. And it is scary. It is scary, especially when, you know, maybe you don't need to work, but you want to work. Like, that's, I mean, what a privilege that is, first of all, but like to just communicate how important it is for you to have that time. You know, I think that's really, really good, really valuable. So.
Yeah. So for anybody listening, yeah, just like Meg said, communication with your partner is key to not only helping things run smoothly, but to not develop like resentment or any sort of yep. bitter feelings towards whatever's going on. Because if you and your partner aren't on the same page, then yes. things are going to eventually crumble and it's going to be a bad thing. So
for sure. I love that.
I want to backtrack a little bit. You mentioned earlier these little non-negotiables for you that help make sure that your day is in place. And I know from following you for a long time, you talk about win the morning, win the day. You yes. have these little checklists called Fight for Five. Can you yes. kind of just give us some examples of your little tiny non-negotiables that help you be the best Meg, the best mom, the best entrepreneur, and how you structure that so that it gets done?
Yes. Okay. So Fight for Five. Okay. Win the morning, win the day has just become my little motto, because I truly think there's magic in the mornings. And I think mainly because as a working mom, like, I have had to utilize that time before my kids are up to get some stuff done. That's just the only way I can do it. And I know that not everyone's a morning person, but win the morning, win the day can have a lot of different meaning there. For me, it means to start my day with intention. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from win the morning, win the day, is to start in a place like you have this whole day in front of you. So why not start it on the best foot possible? I find when I wake up, turn off my alarm, and if I get sucked into emails, social media right away, it's like my energy is zapped, like in a second. And I just feel like, oh, like I just start off with this energy being pulled from me. So instead, it's thinking of what are the things that actually fill you with energy, that actually give you and create energy. And for me, movement is something that, you know, a lot of people do to burn calories, but for me, it's something that creates energy in my life. Like, it truly is something that creates so much energy and momentum for my day. And also to have this little, so this is what I do. I start with my first Fight for Five is a moment of gratitude and stillness. So waking up, turning off that alarm. And, you know, for me, this looks like a moment in prayer. For other people, it could be just stillness, you know, journaling, meditation, just stillness of having a moment to yourself to start your intention with something of gratitude. Like, no matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in, even if it is, you know, soul sucking, like I have experienced in this past 4 months. But just even when you're going through the hardest times, I truly believe there is something powerful about starting your day with just a sliver of gratitude for just one thing and holding on to that thought and letting it bring you a breath of light and then moving into your day. So for me, that looks like exercise. So my second Fight for Five is 30 plus minutes of exercise a day. Does this happen on my rest days? Not like in a 30-minute segment, but throughout the day I'm active, you know? But for most of my other days, this really does look like 30 minutes at least of intended movement, of being on my mat, of being in the gym, sweating, working. And the powerful shift that I have seen with that in my life is just, I mean, it's monumental. It's changed my whole life to start my day that way. The third thing I would say is that I've added in this last year, well, this last 6 months has been 20 plus minutes of reading a day. I started noticing that with my little kids, I was feeling like you can get so in mom mode and I think out of learning mode that it's sometimes I like missed that craving of just like adult talk or learning or studying something. And for me, it's filled that little gap of knowing that I have 20 minutes throughout my day. It could be driving and listening to an audio, you know, book on audio or a podcast or while I'm working out to listen to something. But for me, reading and continual learning has been such a like light energy booster for me, like something that I feel, oh my gosh, I'm learning something. I'm actually progressing my mind and learning and expanding. So that's been important for me. The fourth one is just, I always try to aim for 60 or more ounces of water a day. You know, you'll hear lots of different things with this, but truly, I just think it just makes me, if anything, it makes me more aware of the things I'm putting in my body. Just because it's, you know, you're constantly sipping water. It's just that reminder of like, am I filling my body with things that are going to nourish me today? And it's just keeping you hydrated, keeping you, you know, alert and awake. I love it. And then the fifth thing is the 100 plus grams of protein a day. And this is something that is very, you know, it's not like a strict thing for me. As you know, I don't count calories or macros. And so I'm very much an intuitive eater, but I'm very mindful about protein. And I have been for this last little bit, especially after having my baby, just because it has helped me so much with recovery that it becomes a non-negotiable for me. Like I think, you know, as we age, not only are our muscles or bones, you know, losing bone density and, you know, slowly, you know, losing that density, but it's not only important physiologically, but I think it's just important we recover better. We're, you know, able to sustain muscle. We're able to feel a little bit fuller longer with protein. There's so many benefits of that macronutrient that it's become such a big focus for me. So I'm just mindful about it. You know, I'm not ever like, I have to get 150 or nothing. You know, it's just like, I'm going to aim for over 100 grams. And really that just comes from each meal focusing on protein, of getting sources of protein and little snacks. And I feel awesome, you know? So those are my five things that really, they're doable. They're doable for any mom. I know any mom can do it. It's like, you know, just something that if you're doing those five things, it's just something that you're nourishing your body and hopefully your spirit and your mind as well. And so they have been big things for me.
Absolutely. I love that the things on your list aren't structured by time where it's like, okay, I have to do this in the morning. And if I don't do it in the morning, then I failed for the day. It's just things to keep in mind throughout the day of, have I done this yet? No, I have not. Okay, when am I going to fit it in today? And I know some days, like I think it was last night, you posted on your stories that you were working out at what, 9 p.m. or however late it was.
Yeah.
That was probably the first time you'd gotten to actually get your intentional 30 minutes of movement in for the day. But, you know, going throughout the day, it's not like, oh my gosh, well, I didn't do it in the morning. So, you know, now I just have to wait till tomorrow. It's like, no, I'm still awake. Like, this is my Fight for Five. This is on my list of non-negotiables. How am I going to make it work? And I think that's what's important about these little, you know, these self-care things that we do is making it principle-based where it's just trying to find a way to fit it in with your life and just make sure that it's incorporated into your day. And if you do have a routine where, you know, you wake up and you pray first thing, that's super great because that's how you're going to get it done. And then, you know, the other things like the exercise or reading, it can be whenever, but the point is that you're trying to find a way to do that. Some of the things for me are getting sunlight first thing in the morning. So I wake up, I pray, And then I walk over to the blinds, I open the blinds, and I literally stare out the window for like 90 seconds. I just feel like that sunlight and getting that natural light on my face before I flip on all the lights in the house just gives me that energy that I need. Then there's other things like having an electrolyte drink or, you know, movement or whatever that I can sprinkle in throughout the day. And it really does make a difference. I've had a lot of moms look at me and be like, but it's so selfish. Like, I'm taking time away from my kids. What would you say to those moms who feel guilty for trying to find things to do for them every single day?
Oh man, I'm sad for those moms. It is so important to find things that fill you. You cannot run a car on an empty tank. Like, you just can't. I mean, you know, you think about a race car, you know, all these race cars in races, and they could do the whole thing probably without stopping, but they have pit stops. They literally have pit stops where the whole crew changes out their tires, they get refueled. These cars could make it through the whole race on one thing, but they don't. They take pit stops, and we have to take pit stops. Like, there has to be that rest and recovery and self-care phase for us moms, because we just can't give our best on an empty tank. And that's really what it comes down to, is there's no guilt in that. There is so much love and respect in that act of doing something that truly fills you and allows you to then give and love to ultimate capacity. Like, that is something that I've realized, is that there are just different things for me that I know that I will be a much better caretaker of my children and example to them and have the energy for those things if I fill my tank. So I would just say those things are important. Carve out the time. It's not easy. Again, like tonight, I will be working out after this podcast, so I didn't get it in this morning. And you have to be flexible. And again, it's not all or nothing. We always talk about on my Instagram, it's all or something. I mean, truly just the effort is all that matters. The fact that you are showing up, you're giving effort, you're just trying, is going to get you further than if you just don't do anything at all. So just do the best you can in the areas that you can, and stop thinking about being perfect, because it won't happen. So just those little pit stops, you know, we need them. We need them throughout our day.
Absolutely. And something I've learned over the years is that consistency doesn't mean you do it in the same way or for the same amount of time or at the same time every day. It's just that the effort to do it every day is there. So maybe you don't get your full 30, 45 minutes every single day, but did you, I don't know, park farther away in the parking lot so that you had to get a couple extra steps to go to the grocery store? Or did you choose to take the stairs instead of the elevator? Or just things like that, where are you being consistent with your effort? And I find that when we have that mentality, that all or something, it takes the pressure off of how we're showing up for ourselves and feeling like, oh my gosh, well, the only way I can show up for myself is if I shove my kids in a room for an hour. That's not what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to sit down and have a full meal and say, how about you come bring your toys by my feet and you play with your toys while mommy finishes breakfast so that I can finish my breakfast. Like, it's that all or something mentality.
And really, your day is significantly impacted by 5 minutes on a mat. It doesn't have to take much, but I swear, when I just put in a tiny bit of effort, it is so crazy to me how much that can just shift my day. Like, just one tiny little thing. So, you know, effort goes a long way.
Total tangent. Do you still do your whips in the app?
Yes. So my whips, yes, that's a perfect example. My whips, every week in the app, in the gym side and the home, I release a Wilma whip. So to those listening, that is just a name for a quick workout. So my home ones are 10 to 15 minutes long. It's so easy and doable, but yet they're killer. And then my gym ones are programmed for a half hour, so half the length of time. And they're truly some of my favorite workouts. Like, truly, because you get it in, it takes so little time, and it completely shifts your day. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So if my listeners are sitting there being like, oh my gosh, well, how do I do this? Meg has the perfect structure in her app to help you get in that movement in just like these small little increments of time. And you have like stretching videos and like other additional resources, right? To where, you know, you could kind of pick and choose how you wanted to do that.
Totally. It's so flexible. And we have high fitness in the app. If you want like a fun cardio class every Thursday, Saturday, we have yoga every other week. And then I have a whole I mean, I think I have 100 5-minute videos in the app as well under the menu. It's just like, if you have 5 minutes only, go get your 5 with Megan, and the 5 with Megs are all found in the app. So they have different, you know, you could do a 5 with Meg legs for the day. It's just, I wanted to provide that resource for moms because I know I'm living it. Like, I know how it is to have just 5 minutes, and that's sometimes all you can give, and it's enough.
Absolutely. Okay. So we will definitely be including the link to your app and all that stuff in the show notes so that we can check that out.
Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease, and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes.
Before we close, I wanted to get into some questions from the listeners and our followers on Instagram. When I announced that you were coming on the podcast, I had so many DMs from people like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear from Meg. Can you please ask her this question? So I picked a couple of the ones that I thought kind of fit with our conversation and were kind of common themes from the listeners. So the first one, I don't quite know how to word it, but it's just about your body image. Something that I've always admired about you is how positively you speak about our bodies and just like the light and love that you have for your body. And I know that most women, I'm sure all of us at some point, but I know a lot of us really struggle with our bodies, especially as we go through motherhood, pregnancy, early postpartum, never quite feeling the same after you have a baby. So how do you, I guess, maintain a positive body image throughout all of these things that you're experiencing?
Yes, I love it. I'll try to do these quickly because I know we have a few, but I honestly think that my positive body image started from my mom. And why I say this is because I think us moms have more impact than we realize in the home of the way that we speak about our own bodies. I never heard my mom once talk negatively about her body. I'm sure she had insecurities like we all do, but she never said it out loud to us. And she never once talked about somebody else's body, laughed at somebody's body, talked about them in a negative way. It was such a body positive home that I grew up in. And we all have very different bodies in my home. And so through athletics, as I grew, and then as a nurse, and working at Make-A-Wish Foundation actually was a big part of this. Seeing people that their health was not in the state they wished that it was in, of really struggling with health, significant health issues, I learned so much about what health really means. And it doesn't mean looking a certain way. Health is so much more encompassing. It's how we feel. It's how our body is functioning. And my shift of mindset really was like, it was so clear to me, like our bodies are what they look like is truly the least interesting thing about us. And what is more important is what we're doing to how they feel and how our bodies are functioning, what they're doing for us. So having that mindset and that perspective of what is it that your body is doing every day that you're so grateful for, really shifts that. And it's hard. It's really hard because society pushes, I mean, media pushes so much of that body image in our face every day, but it takes daily effort. And I'm talking, it takes continual effort to recognize your body as a gift of what it's doing for you and to treat it in such a way. And for me, I mean, my body has changed so many times, like anybody else's. Babies, bodies are truly supposed to change. That's what they do. And so whatever stage of life we're in, honoring that stage and really honoring it in a way that's saying like, I see you, I feel you, whatever stage you're in, and knowing you have the capacity to also change and to nourish it better in certain ways and to fuel it better in certain ways. Like there's just bodies change and your body truly is like what the scale says or what it looks like in the mirror is truly the least interesting thing about you. Like what I love about people the most is who they are as a person and what they're doing. And, you know, it's just, anyways, that was a big perspective shifter for me. So, but I'm, like I say, it takes daily effort. I mean, I don't think anyone's just handed this mindset. I think it's like anything, a continual work that you have to put in to have that love and that gratitude.
Yeah. A good example for me, something that I've been practicing over the last few years, is I always hated looking in the mirror. I never liked what I saw in the mirror. And that was something that I really struggled with. And my therapist looked at me one day and he said, you know what? How about before you approach a reflective surface, whether it's a car, a shop window, your mirror in your bathroom, your phone, whatever, try smiling before you look in the mirror and then see how difficult it is to tear yourself down when you are smiling at yourself. And that has like changed my life. And I do that every single day. And that's my little tiny effort to be intentional about how I choose to feel about myself, especially like in early postpartum. I'm like, I gotta smile before I look in the mirror because this is really hard right now. But it's like those little things like that where you're like, yeah, like you said, my body is supposed to change. It's done amazing things. The important part is how I feel and what I'm capable of, not what I look like while I do it.
Totally. And do you think our kids care for 1 second about how we look? I mean, truly, they don't. I don't care. I didn't care growing up if my mom looked a certain way at the swimming pool. I just cared that she was in doing it with me. Like there is no memory of that for me. Like I was such a beautiful thing that we have the opportunity to create in our own homes, whatever our background looked like. We actually have the ability to change that narrative in our own home. And it starts with us and it's going to take work, but the impact that it can have on your children when they get to see your loose skin. Like I let my kids touch my tummy and see the loose skin. And, you know, I show them my belly when I'm pregnant and I'm looking at it, like, look how amazing this is, to show them that and to be a part of that. And to show them that at the pool that, you know, you don't have a perfect body, but that you're showing up anyway. That is exactly what we need. You know, that allows them to have the courage to do the same one day. So all you listening, get in the pool and don't be afraid to just be yourself, your true, genuine self with loose skin and cellulite or not a thigh gap and what, you know, acne on your skin, whatever it is that you're self-aware of, just show up as you are. That's what we actually need more of for the world to feel more secure, more courageous, more authentic, you know? So.
Absolutely. It's much easier said than done, but like we said, put in the effort to show up that way and it will make such a difference.
Totally.
Okay, next question from the listeners. What advice do you have for a mom who has a dream but feels like it's not possible because she has little kids at home?
I will answer this one really quickly. Just start. Honestly, just start. Rome was not built in a day. You know, it was built brick by brick. So lay the first brick. Like just be willing to do a small thing every day. And over time, that compounds and compounds. Just start. Don't be afraid. If you have something that's pulling at your heart, just start. There's room for you. There's room for everybody.
I love that. I don't need to add to that. That was perfect. okay. And the last question that we wanted to ask you has to do with your mental health. You recently opened up about this on Instagram. And you've been so kind to let us into your world a little bit with this. So I had some listeners that wanted to know kind of how you knew when you needed help and how you went about approaching your mental health these last couple months when you realized that you were struggling with postpartum anxiety.
Yes, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to open up about this because this has given me strengthening power to open up about it. Like, I think the more we hide things from people and the more we hide our struggles, the more lonely we feel. And that's something with mental health that I have learned more than anything else is to know that you're not alone and to not be afraid to open up about it. Because once you do, once you just share that little struggle, you realize how not alone you are and how much help there is. So this is not going to be short, and it's okay if I go over. I'm not stressed on time tonight, but I want to tell this kind of full story. So back when I had Poppy, my third child, I think I had experienced a little postpartum anxiety, but I didn't really recognize it then. And I didn't identify it that way. I just kind of had these little moments. For me, anxiety looks very different for every person to person, what I've learned. For me, it manifests very physically. So it was these lightheaded episodes that would happen where I'd almost pass out. So again, I wasn't triggered emotionally, even though emotion regulation is at the root of these, which I've discovered, but it was a physical response. So like I would seriously have like be so lightheaded, I'd have to sit down. So I'd have a few of these and it kind of went away. I didn't really recognize it. So fast forward to my latest child, Gwynny. I had her in April. And these lightheaded episodes after having her got really severe. Again, I knew there was something wrong. And I actually went in to get all my blood work done because I was like, I have a brain tumor. Like I went down this horrible road where I was like, there is something so physically wrong here. I need to figure this out because I am almost passing out. Like I am getting to the point where I am so lightheaded. I'm having enough food. Like I was going through all of these things. And anyways, it kind of slowed down after a few months. So my blood work came back looking perfect. And I was like, okay, well, that's reassuring for some things, but also like, what is happening to my body? This is not I'm not getting any answers. So months went by and these would start happening and they got more frequent and more frequent. So by the fall time, I was literally having these episodes 10 plus times a day. I mean, it was my normal. I'd be up walking, I'd be home by myself, I'd be wherever in a social situation, and I would feel so unstable. I'd have to sit down and it was so like black and white. I knew right when it was on, just so unsteady. So anyways, they built up and built up. So in December, I had a panic attack. So I hadn't had any panic attacks, but these lightheaded episodes, I had this lightheaded episode on the freeway. It had never happened while driving. And that triggered a panic attack for me on the freeway. And I had my daughter Poppy in the back seat. I pulled over and I was shaken. Like I was frozen in fear. Because I thought for once, this is not only affecting me, it's actually starting to affect the ones that I love, like their safety. And that was like a moment for me that triggered, I believe, this waterfall throughout that next week of events for me. So I barely made it to her preschool performance that morning. I was driving her there. And I mean, truly, I was on the phone with Bryce saying, he was well aware of this. And he's, you know, for months had been telling me like, Meg, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. But I kept brushing it aside. It'll go away. Anyway, so I got to this preschool performance and I just sat bawling in his truck. I couldn't stand up. I was so frozen in fear. And Brian met me there and took Poppy in and I couldn't go inside. And I just bawled in the truck. I truly was so scared to drive home. I didn't think I was going to make it home. So, and again, if you've never experienced crippling anxiety, it's really hard to understand. And I never could understand it. And I would try to empathize with people, but I could not understand how that would feel until this moment. And when I got home, I spent the next 3 days completely unable to walk, like in my bed, crippled with anxiety, like to the point where I couldn't open my computer, look at my phone. Anything would trigger me. I was on a verge of a panic attack 24/7. So I believe that that event for me, it triggered a waterfall of like, my body was telling me, if you are not going to slow down, if you are not going to pay attention to me and keep piling things on, I am going to physically shut you down. And that's exactly what happened. Like my body shut me down and turned me off. And I was in bed, full care of my parents. Sorry, it makes me emotional. But my parents came and took full care of my house, my kids. Like I could not function. And I went from someone that was as high functioning as I believe I could have been, doing everything I needed to do, to completely dependent on my parents or somebody else. It got to the point where I couldn't have anyone leave for even 5 minutes. I was too scared to be alone, not because of my own state, like because of self-harm, but because I was scared I was going to pass out and be there with my kids, like not able to care for them. Again, it manifested so physically for me. So anyways, I had like Bri was home from work. I had full care. My parents helped wrap presents for Christmas. Like I truly get emotional thinking of that because they were there for me 100%, which I'm so grateful for. I had a friend during that time who I knew had experienced something like this. And one night, I was actually hosting something at my house for our church group. And it was an hour away. And I was like, I can't even stand up. Like, I cannot host this event. And I called or I texted my friend. I said, I need to tell someone. I need to tell the truth to someone. Just like, tell them what's going on, that I am struggling so bad. And I sent her a text. And literally within 3 minutes, she was pulling into my driveway. She didn't respond. She just came straight over. She walked through my front door and she just held me on the couch while I just cried. And still to this day, like I will never forget that as long as I live. And in that moment, I really do think I learned what it means to love someone, like what it means to truly love. Was to act, not to ask, but just to act and say, like, I'm here for you. And anyway, she looked at me and just said, you are going to get through this. And anyways, I needed those words so much from her just because I knew she had been through it and walked that same path before. And she just told me, you are going to get through this. This is not your identity. This is not your forever. And just those words were such comfort. So since that point, the more that I've opened up about this, and truly, I have to say, I dove into healing mode. Like I got off my phone for a month. And that is the point I knew. And I'm sad to say that that is the point I knew. But I think sometimes it takes feeling broken to know that you need change. And as crappy as it is to feel broken, also what a gift, an opportunity to move forward and with new perspective, with new tools, with almost like a rebirth of self, even though it is so extremely painful. But it took for me completely breaking to realize that I needed help. And I'm so grateful for the self-awareness that I had to dive into healing mode. Because I think sometimes that's our biggest hang up for a lot of people is that they don't reach out for help. But I will tell anyone listening, and through therapy, I'm with a therapist now that I love, but that the quicker you are to reach out for help is a sign of strength. It's a sign of actually a healthy self-awareness, is that if you are willing to get help sooner, I mean, it just shows how strong you are. Like, I think that people think that the opposite of like needing help is this weakness, but needing help and recognizing that is such a strength, and being able to actually do that and follow through and go through the steps you need to take care of yourself is such a strength. So there's no shame in therapy. There's no shame in medication if that's what's going to help you. There's no shame in reaching out to friends and having them help, or family, or I mean, my whole family. Within one day, I had called every single member. I knew I needed help. I wanted everybody to know so that I could have prayers on board, so that I could have help, people thinking of me. Like, I knew I needed that. And so for that month, I was off my phone. I dove into therapy. Truly, it was a life-changing month for me. And my recovery, I believe, has been so much smoother and quicker just because of that, because I have been so vulnerable in opening up about it that it has given me strength beyond my own. Like, it has given me so much strength. So if I could, and now having this platform is a responsibility, and having people reach out to me this last 4 months has been incredible. I've had so many incredible opportunities to be there for somebody that I don't even know, and have something to tell them that hopefully is going to give them some peace or calm for a moment. Like, just the amount of strength that we can give to other people if we are open about our challenges is just like beyond our comprehension. And I think sometimes we hold back from letting people see that weakness, but man, it's done everything for me, and I hope for more people, you know? So, yeah, I think that's basically what I've learned, is truly that, you know, there's slowing down is important, and just as important as things. And we can either, I talk a lot about feeling the day, and, you know, there's alive and then there's living. And I actually remember, I just found this in my phone the other day from months before this all happened, but there's a little journal entry that I have in my phone that says, there's alive and there's living. And today I just feel alive. And, you know, it was like a moment where I was like, I wasn't really living. Like, I wasn't really feeling the day. It was almost like I got so busy and was filling my life with so much busyness. And that was becoming this mask that, you know, I was piling so many things on that at the end of the day, yeah, I was so productive and I checked so many things off my list. But what would I get at the end of the day? What was that day even about? You know? And so it has been this season for me, after, you know, really diving into this healing mode and how, and recovering and feeling so much better today. Oh my gosh. But just is learning to live and to feel the day, and how important that is to do things you love, like I say, without having any tie to money or even purpose, but like painting because you love to paint, or playing the piano because it makes you happy, or going to that concert because it fills you with joy, or calling that friend over for a lunch because that is going to bring connection into your life. Those are the things that make life worth living. And we can get so caught up in our to-do list, but what if we lived in a way that we got so caught up with life that we forgot about our to-do list? And isn't that what we want out of life at the end of the day? You know, so it was such a learning experience for me. I live differently today than I did 6 months ago. And I work less and I connect more. And these things for my mental health have become crucial. So I'm learning, still healing. But if I could help anybody by sharing that, that is my hope. Like, that if you feel broken mentally, and if you feel like you're in a dark, dark place, it is impossible. It feels out of your control. Like, I couldn't even stand up. I was so surprised by that. Like, I was completely non-functional for those 3 days. And even, I mean, until I got real help, like I was on the verge of panic attacks all the time. And that was the most uncomfortable space I've ever been in. And I never want to go back. But what I learned from that was more than I can even describe. And the blessing that challenge has been in my life has been more than I can even describe, because I've allowed it to become something that I've learned from, that I can share with others, that I can live better from, that I can crawl out of because I know I can with help. Like, there's no shame in being there. So to anyone listening, just know it does not identify you. It is not permanent. It doesn't set who you are. And it's just, you're going to get through it. You will. Even if you think you never will, you will. Just reach out for help and don't be afraid to get the help you need. It is so important to feel your best. And everybody is irreplaceable. Everybody has purpose here. And everybody is needed. So if you don't feel well, get help and feel free to DM me and I will tell you, I will give you a little pep talk and I will tell you how important you are. And I will tell you that you're going to get through it, because you will.
Thank you so much for being willing to share your story. I know that is going to bless so many women that not only listen to this podcast, but just as you continue to be vulnerable with that and being willing to share, it's really healing to hear someone else talk about their process of struggle and healing. And like you said, the more we share, the more we're able to lift others. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. Something that came to mind while you were talking is the concept of being broken. And I heard this in church a long time ago, but it's the idea that the only way to let light in is to be broken.
Yes.
And, you know, we often think, oh my gosh, my body is broken. My brain is broken. My yes. heart is broken, whatever it is. And yes, it sucks and it's scary and it's overwhelming. But at the same time, that's the only way that we get to let light and love from other people. And that's the only way we get to experience growth and change and yeah. really see the people that are there for us, right? You get to see your friend that you called and she got there faster than she could like respond in a text message or a call, right? Like that's when you find your people. That's when you discover the true meaning behind life is when you have these moments where you feel broken, but you're willing to let the good come back in and you're seeking for that because you're seeking for help. That's something that I've learned in my own experience with a lot of things that are going on in my life right now. I decided to go back to therapy and it was really hard at first because I was like, I don't need therapy. Like I'm too strong for therapy. And then after my first session, I was like in tears. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need therapy. Yes. But yes, the idea that like asking for help is not a weakness. I think it's a vote of confidence yourself and being like, no, like I deserve to feel good and yeah. I deserve to have resources that help me feel good. And I love myself enough to seek out those resources so that I can be happy and feel fulfilled.
Totally. Totally. It really is our brokenness is what binds us. We're all broken. And that's what you come to realize when you go through any struggle is that everybody is struggling with something. And it doesn't make you weak. It just makes you human. There's so much to the human experience that is only learned through being broken. And I am such a better person today than I was 6 months ago because of that struggle. Like I know it and because I've lived it. And just the ability to love and empathize with people who are experiencing mental illness around, especially postpartum, like I now get it. I get it fully. Like I didn't fully get it before and I would try to understand, but you really never know until you go. So as hard as challenge is, it is so critical to our growth if we let it. So anyways, yeah, I'm grateful to share. There's even more. I mean, there's so much more I could even share, but how grateful am I for that challenge? As hard as that is and was for me, I would not ever take it back. Like it has totally shifted my life in very positive ways. You know, and it's still ups and downs. I have lots to learn and, you know, I can't say that won't come back. Like it could, but this time I have a full set of resources and I'm ready for it. And I know what to do. So it's, you know, empowering. We learn a lot from struggle.
Absolutely. Wow. We have covered so much today and you have been so kind to share so much with us. To wrap up our conversation, I want to ask you a question that I ask all my guests. And I think it ties in really well with all the things we've talked about today. Meg, to you, what is a non-negotiable to living a well-nourished life?
That's such a good question. Connection. I would say that is a non-negotiable for me, is connecting with people on a level that's deeper than, hi, how are you? How's life? Oh, it's good. Real connection. That comes with sharing vulnerabilities, that comes with getting uncomfortable, that comes with loving even when it hurts. But connection is what life is about. And, you know, I think it's the favorite part about my business is connecting with people and in real life and in, you know, not just across the screen, but really, really knowing that I'm connecting deeper and that's what life's about. It's a non-negotiable for me. It's people. That's what we're here for, is each other, you know?
I agree. That was a perfect answer. And I don't think anyone has said that yet. So,
oh, well, good.
That was a great answer. Meg, how can we stay connected with you? How can we be a part of your world? Where can we find you?
So Instagram is great. I have all my links there, but Meg_Miles, and then just the Wilma account is Wilma. And then come find me in the app. It's my favorite place to be. It's wilmafit.com is my website. And anyways, there's more coming. I'm just really excited about my work. And to anyone listening, I'd love to have you be a part of my community.
And mamas, you're going to want to be a part of her community. She has the most amazing app. You have the most in-depth prenatal fitness guide that I have ever seen or experienced. And I know you put in so much work for that. That's like a whole podcast episode on its own. So you have so much in your app, mamas. Please, please, please go give Meg a follow. Join her community. Do you have a challenge coming up soon? I know you do challenges.
Yes, we will. And I'm trying to decide May or June, but it probably, I don't know yet. I'm not going to say anything yet because I'm still deciding, but it'll come up soon. We'll have one in the next couple months. So,
okay. Yeah. So stay tuned for the next challenges. Her challenges are amazing and there are so many prizes to be won. So
yeah, so fun.
Meg, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast tonight. I'm sure I'm going to be asked to have you back on again for something else. So we're just going to say, see you soon. And mamas, we will see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much, Brooke.
And that's the end of another episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.